the Los Angeles Kings in town tonight in a must win game, according to their all-star defenseman Drew Doughty, which of course is not surprising. They are tied with the Calgary Flames with 93 points for the final playoff spot in the Western Conference, one back of Winnipeg, all teams with three games remaining. The Kings, though, currently right now with Calgary, Calgary owns a tiebreaker. The Kings do own the tiebreaker over the Winnipeg Jets, and the Kings play the Flames on Thursday night, which would be a huge game, but you lose tonight, and man, it makes that game much harder, and your playoff chances even much harder. So John Rosen, the LA Kings insider, joins us. John, my first question, what is up with Mike Richards?
He hasn't been in the lineup since the end of the road trip when the Kings just got back from their five-game swing through the New York teams and Minnesota and Chicago. Right now they're going with Nick Shore. Usually Daryl Sutter is somebody that really favors experience in the lineup, and Richards, who has won 26 playoff series in his junior and professional career, would provide that. But right now Nick Shore has done a great job winning faceoffs. He's been the Kings' top faceoff man for about the last month. Right now leads the team amongst faceoff regulars with a rate just under 54%. So you could see a change perhaps tonight. Speaking with Daryl earlier today, he said that there were some players that were sitting back and watching in last night's performance, which overall I thought was a pretty sturdy road performance in a very good game against the Vancouver Canucks. But Richards has not been among the 18 skaters that Daryl Sutter has chosen to go out and win some very crucial late season games with, at least over the last week.
What you've seen Richards on that road trip, but do you think he has more to give? Does he have much left in the tank? Is this a guy a lot of people think is going to get bought out in the summer? What do you think's up with him, John, long term?
In discussions with the team that I had, and this was while he was down in Manchester, the thought of a buyout was something that was shut down when I had asked hockey operations about that. I assume that's still the case right now at this point, but that would be probably a question I would revisit once we get to later in the season, once that decision would have to be made. I think those who would expect Mike Richards to return to the type of production that he had back when he was a Philadelphia Flyer and in his first couple of years with the Los Angeles Kings, that's not going to happen right now at this point, but he is still certainly capable of serving a very good role for this team. He had a couple of strong efforts on that road trip, but in games late in the trip against Minnesota and Chicago, like much of the team, it wasn't his best performances right now. So, he's still getting, I think the conditioning is fine. He looks, he looks skinny. He looks fine. I don't think it was a real major concern over the last several years, especially considering some of the strong starts that he had gotten out to and, had 32 points in 48 games in the lockout shortened season a couple of years ago. So it just remains to be seen right now at this point. But certainly I do think he can still fill a role for this team, whether it's a fourth-line center, whether it's, something else. But it'll be interesting. It's not to say that he won't play tonight. There's still a chance of that.
Okay. When you look long-term for him, Jarrett Stoll is an unrestricted free agent. I'm assuming both can't come back. It's going to be one or the other, correct?
Well, the Kings are very tight under the cap right now, and this has happened to teams have experienced the success that the Kings have and do have lots of players under long-term contracts. Richards is still under a long-term contract for 2021. So, again, unless there has been any, radical shift in the philosophy and the way that the organization is thinking, I don't expect him to be bought out.
Okay.
There could be another opportunity where, there could be another, stint in the AHL, but I think we're still a little bit too close to, his most recent assignment to the AHL. I don't think there's been enough sample size. We've seen enough since his recent call-up. I believe he has been called up for five, or has played five games since being placed back into that lineup. So it's something that still we're going to wait and see. And obviously this team is banking on a longer playoff run as well, should they get in right now. So that would provide another opportunity. And he's been somebody where his points total, his point per game average rises in the playoffs compared to the regular season. I don't know if you should be expecting that right now at this point, but certainly given what we saw from him last year in the playoffs, especially in the game sevens at San Jose at Anaheim, he still serves a checking role for this team and could potentially help. As for Stoll, as for Justin Williams, these are guys who are unrestricted free agents in the coming year. Whether or not they come back is going to be something where they would have to take some sort of a hometown discount just because of the way that the Kings are so close to the cap right now, considering some of their longer-term deals.
John Rosen, LA Kings insider, joins us. John, Jonathan Quick played last night. It is back-to-back, and Jones has faced the orders twice, had a shutout both times. Who do you expect to go in net tonight?
Gosh, you have a coin that I can borrow, that I can flip here. It's really, I was thinking Jones last night. Now today I'm thinking more that it's going to be Jonathan Quick, just because this right now is the Kings' biggest game of the year, and you would imagine that they would go back to Quick. Quick did see a lot of action last night, 37 of 38 shots through 65 minutes. Faced three shots in the shootout, gave up one goal, and it was obviously a late arrival early this morning here in Edmonton on the second night of a back-to-back. I think if you would ask Jonathan, he would want to play. Then again, Martin Jones has had that type of success against the Oilers, and with all due respect to the Oilers, this is a must-win game for the LA Kings, and if they can't beat Edmonton right now in game number 80 in advance of that Calgary game, that would say something about their playoff fortunes coming up. So. It's interesting. I really think that they'll go back to Quick tonight, but again, I think it's really a 50-50 draw at this point. We won't really know until the starter comes out and leads the team out onto the ice for warm-ups.
Yeah, I think you have to go with Quick. I mean, you have to go with your big guns.
Yeah.
And he's won how many games the last couple seasons? He's won how many Stanley Cups the last couple seasons? Like, you just, in my mind, you have to play him.
And he's been excellent in recent games ever since February 7th. And the Kings have been playing some pretty good hockey ever since the All-Star break. Probably some of their best stretches of hockey this year. Quick, 191 goals against average, 18-6-2, 928 save percentage as well. So he's playing his best hockey of the year. I think it's something that he could handle. Again, it's a 3-4 for the Kings, and they've got Calgary two nights, and that's obviously another enormous game. So whether they feel that he can handle that probably is the determining factor, in whether he goes all three games on this trip.
John Rosen joins us. John, the Kings, they've squeaked into the playoffs before, but not in this type of situation. They finished eighth, but they were 5 or 6 points ahead of the ninth place team. This is a little bit different than previous years. A lot of people are saying, man, you can't always go back to the well and then just turn the switch come playoff time. But this group of players, I get a sense they think they can do that.
I think it's not just that they flip a switch. I think that they just have a style of play that eventually over 82 games is something that they are able to go out and find their game and play their game and play their best hockey late in the season. It's a very difficult style of hockey that they play in working the puck deep, chipping it deep, winning battles along the boards, winning pucks in corners. It's something that when you get to games number 35 through 55 in the season, especially when there are certain players who played, those Olympians on the team played upwards of 110 games last year, there's a little bit less in the tank, both emotionally and physically. So when you get to this time of the year, I think it's, I don't know if it's a switch that flips, but there is that realization, that focus. The Kings are a team that has graded so well in two profoundly different areas, both, in the metrics, obviously the possession rates, the shot attempt totals, the ability to suppress shots. They've been a fantastic possession team. They're also a very resilient team, and when you get into the intangibles, the focus, the determination, everything that you see that you saw last year throughout the playoffs and winning those three game sevens on the road, the Kings grade so well in those. So it's a combination of both the tangible and the intangible. And when you get to these late season games, not to say that they're more important than any other, this certainly is where the Kings seem to be playing their best hockey. And again, I think they have been playing some very strong hockey over the last 2 or 3 weeks ago. I thought they played a strong game last night. Last night's game wasn't going to be a game where either team was going to run away with it. It was going to be a late season close game. 2-1 most likely, was going to be the final score, and that's what it was. So we'll see if they're able to continue into tonight's game, because there's really no margin for error on this Kings team right now.
Really, the one glaring weakness, really, you'd look at the Kings would be overtime and shootouts. Yeah. For whatever reason, they just haven't been good.
Yeah, 3-15 on the year this year. I mean, you just tweeted it out, where if ties existed this year, the Kings would be the seventh seeded team in the Western Conference this year. It's interesting because the Kings have been outscored 7-1 in overtime, yet in 4-on-4 play during the run of play, not in overtime, they've outscored their opponents 2-1. It's just a bizarre anomaly. I mean, you can go back a couple years when, I want to say, Jarrett Stoll had 9 consecutive shootout goals that one season, and the Kings have traditionally been a very strong shootout team. You have guys with supreme skill, great releases, Andre Kopitar, Jeff Carter. This has never been a team that's really had any issue with a shootout. There's just an anomaly and a blip in the radar this year, especially, you consider Jonathan Quick as a world-class goalie, too. If this Kings team does not make the playoffs, the number one factor will be because of their play after 60 minutes of hockey.
John Rose and the LA Kings insider joins us. So the order game, and I know the players don't look ahead, John, but you and I can because we don't play the game. You know, most people would expect the Kings and the Flames to win tonight against the 28th and the 29th place teams. Then you get into a two-game run to the playoffs. They play one another on Thursday in Calgary. Then the Kings wrap up their season Saturday afternoon against the San Jose Sharks, who have missed the playoffs for the first time in 11 years, and I'm sure would love to, you know, play spoiler if they could. But you look at that Calgary game. How do you see that matchup? You know, is LA, do they match up well? I haven't looked the season series against the Flames.
Calgary has won twice in LA. LA has won once in LA. Both of Calgary's wins in Los Angeles came and come from behind wins where they trailed in the third period. Calgary also won the one previous game earlier this year at the Saddle Dome. So Calgary's won three of four, though. Two of those games were in overtime. One of the games was a game in which LA had a 3-0 lead late in the second period, and Calgary did what they've been doing all season long. They scored actually twice with a goaltender pulled in that game to eke out a 4-3 overtime win. I mean, it's been even. The game that the Kings won in Calgary, I mean, it was one of those games where the Kings controlled the run of play, dominated in shot attempts, but Calgary, you know, as again they've been doing all season, eked out a win. You know, I saw it even when Giordano went down. This wasn't a team that was going to go softly off into the night. This is a team that you could tell last year was really building a culture. They had a bunch of guys that really liked playing together and liked playing for Bob Hartley. And so this is a team that you're going to get their best efforts, absolutely. So it's going to be a tremendous game coming up at the Saddle Dome on Thursday night. Again, it's going to be another one of those one-goal games, two-goal games. L.A., again, just like the overtime and shootout performances this year, they've struggled in those one-goal games. The Kings have won only 13 of 37 one-goal games this season. So when you combine that with the 15 overtime and shootout losses, that's really been the team's downfall. But, again, this late in the season, it's going to be a 2-1, 3-2 type game. I don't expect anything crazy to happen or one team to get out to a boat race against the other team.
Well, it should be an interesting run to the playoffs. Hoping the Kings will have a chance to repeat. John, always good to catch up. Enjoy the game. See
always
you tonight.
My pleasure. Yeah, thank you so much.